From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The men running for the highest office in the land are making their last appeals to the public.
What America needs now is someone who will finish the race before starting the victory lap. Someone who will fight to the end, and not for himself, but for his country. I have fought for you most of my life.
Yesterday, we brought you an in-depth look at Senator Barack Obama's political career. Today, we look at how Senator John McCain arrived at the pinnacle of his political life. We aired a version of this piece by NPR's Tony Cox during the Republican National Convention in September.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be back. And today, I announce my candidacy for President of the United States.
That was John McCain in New Hampshire on April 25th last year, officially announcing his bid for the White House. And later today, he'll take another step toward his goal when he accepts the Republican Party's presidential nomination. If elected in November, McCain will become the oldest president in U.S. history and the first commander-in-chief born outside the United States. So how did a former Navy captain and Vietnam prisoner of war get here? John McCain followed in the military footsteps of his father and grandfather, and in 1977 served as the Navy's liaison to the U.S. Senate, a role he describes as his official entry into politics. But retired General Counsel of the Army Delbert Spurlock says McCain moved into politics as a way to prove himself.
I think that he certainly didn't get all that he wanted out of a military career, all that it was expected. I mean, this was a guy who really could have had any position in the Navy that was possible for anyone to have, given his pedigree.
McCain was first elected to Congress in 1982, where he served two terms in the House before running for the U.S. Senate in 1986. In 2004, he was elected to his fourth term. Max Foltz was McCain's driver in 1992 and has maintained a relationship with him ever since.
He's a great person to work for. You feel like you have to do 110% all the time because, you know, that's what he gives. He's very energetic. He, you know, goes a mile a minute and he outruns his staff. You have to switch staff because he's so energized all the time and just the kind of person you'd want to have a beer with. Very down to earth, no sports. I would pick him up in the morning to take him to the airport, and it'd be 4 o'clock, and I'd always get up early and read the sports page to make sure I had something to talk to him about. And everything he brought up, he already knew about sports, and very fun to be around. And when you're around him, you feel like you're, you know, part of something bigger than yourself.
McCain's early days in the Senate were marred by an influence-peddling investigation involving Arizona banker Charles Keating, the head of the failed Lincoln Savings and Loan Association. McCain was one of the so-called Keating Five and was accused of accepting campaign contributions in exchange for interceding on Keating's behalf with federal regulators. McCain was eventually cleared of any wrongdoing, but was criticized for using poor judgment. Here's Frank Gilliam. He's Dean of Public Policy and Political Science at UCLA.
It was his first negative encounter, at least in a national sense, and that people have contributors that are less than savory and that they have been in and out of congressman's office asking for favors is, I don't think, a big surprise to the American public.
Now, in 1983, he was involved in another controversy having to do with the efforts to make Martin Luther King's birthday a national holiday. What happened?
Well, McCain really going with the party in the state was one of the Arizona, one of the few states to resist passing the King holiday into law. And McCain was certainly a strident voice in that opposition.
Reverend Oscar Tillman is president of the Phoenix branch of the NAACP in Arizona.
We knew he did what he was going to do, and that is that he probably didn't think it was worthwhile for us to celebrate a Martin Luther King Day, and he did not support it. And now for him to say that he was wrong, yes, I can say I'm wrong on a lot of things. Look how many people in jail and in prison say they were wrong, but you did it, and you did not help us. He could have stepped up to the plate and prevented possibly the state of Arizona from going through the eyesore fight that they had to do to get a Martin Luther King Day with the boycotts and everything, but Senator McCain, in his position, did nothing.
We can be slow as well to give greatness its due. A mistake I myself made long ago when I voted against a federal holiday in memory of Dr. King. I was wrong.
We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes.
I was wrong and eventually realized that in time to give full support for a state holiday in my home state of Arizona.
Now, he is described as a maverick and being partial to supporting bipartisan measures, but what have been his finest political moments?
Well, I think the standard there has been McCain-Feingold campaign finance reform. Russ Feingold, a well-known liberal senator from Wisconsin, they've authored a campaign finance reform bill that wanted to seek limits for campaign contributions. It was a bipartisan measure. It was certainly not a bill that was favored by mainstream Republicans who wanted much less restriction on the way that campaign contributions came in. And I think that's where he really gets his reputation as both a maverick from the party and a person who can work across party lines.
And McCain has support among African-American Republicans. Party activist Priscilla Smith says his policies benefit all.
What John McCain will do that will help African-Americans is his plans for innovation about energy, his plans to help lower gas prices, his plans to make the tax burden easier on people who own small businesses. By the way, the largest growing number of, to make it a little more flexible for that chief executive to work with, that does help African Americans and it does create more jobs.
How does he parlay that reputation from McCain-Feingold into running for the presidency in 2000?
Well, in 2000, again, the idea was to run as the anti-Washington candidate, much, by the way, as the election today is shaping up. That is, as a anti-Washington establishment politician, as a reformer, as somebody who was going to buck party lines. Then-candidate Bush was seen as a pretty straight, dyed-in-the-wool Republican. There was backlash against the Clinton-Gore administration, which Gore was carrying that baggage. So McCain tries to position himself in many senses as the third way.
Now, McCain won over Bush in the New Hampshire primary, and then Bush turned it around by the time they got to South Carolina. Is that where the bad blood between McCain and Bush first surfaces?
Well, primary campaigns are brutal contests, and McCain was seen as not being a party loyalist during that campaign. Bush is anything. If he's anything, he's a loyalist and values loyalty. And McCain was seen as being disloyal.
Here's John McCain speaking at the 2000 Shadow Convention in Philadelphia.
I am, of course, widely known for my discretion. And I thought losing myself in this crowd of like-minded shrinking violets would be a good way to keep a low profile until the Republican National Convention.
Do the risks that he presents, do they differ? Do the risks differ for people within the Republican Party versus the rest of the country? Or are the risks of a John McCain presidency the same?
Well, I think they are risks, but in different ways. They pose different kinds of risks to both segments of the population you describe. Within the party, the concern, of course, is that deep down he's a social liberal. And once in office, freed from having to worry about satisfying the conservative right, he'll hew back to what we've talked about a bit earlier, his more bipartisan and maverick days. To the rest of the country, the concern is that he has voted with the president's position about 90% of the time, and that he indeed tends to will ultimately end up continuing the policies of the Bush-Cheney administration. So there's lots of talk about Obama being a risk, fair enough, and I think there's lots of speculation about McCain being a risk as well.
John McCain has tried to recast himself as a bipartisan reformer while at the same time distancing himself from the unpopular policies of the Bush administration, especially the handling of the Iraq War. But Max Foss says John McCain would do well to follow his own advice.
He always said steady stream, and you know what he meant by that was you got to keep everything steady. There's high and lows in politics and in life, and you got to be in that steady stream in the middle. And you know you try to remember that, especially during campaigns, because you know, you could wake up and be, you know, ahead in the polls, and then a new poll comes out in the afternoon, you're down.
For NPR News, I'm Tony Cox.